So January 25th was my first protest. I never cared about anything, you know, that had to do with human rights or politics or social justice in Egypt, just because I felt there was no hope. But January 25th completely changed my life. That now every day I wake up and I think, how's Egypt?
It's the anniversary of the beginning of the Egyptian Revolution. Today on this special edition of Rights Watch, you'll hear voices from Tahrir.
The invitation to the 25th of January event had a slogan, bread freedom human, dignity.
Aish Hurriya Karama Insaniya. Bread, freedom, and human dignity.
I'm going to fight for my freedom and justice, even if I will pay my life.
And we just hit the streets and talked to people and prepared for the 25th. And we were also preparing for this with Kolena Khalid Said page on Facebook. It has more than 1 million people as members now. We thought that we were all going to be, you know, just taken to prison on the spot. And we started as 100 people. And all of a sudden, we became 20,000.
Only prison
and torture and everything, everything, hanging, everything. And all of a sudden, it became big.
January 25th was declared a public holiday by the Mubarak government. It's a day to celebrate Police Day. There would always be a big speech by Hosni Mubarak, and Police Day, for those of us on the activist side, sort of symbolized everything that was wrong with Mubarak's police state. January 25th now will always be remembered as the first day of the Tahrir uprising, the first day of the revolution.
Everyone was there. Old people, young people, couples, families, young kids, toddlers, babies, everyone was there.
All elements of the Egyptian society. You could see Copts, Muslims, communists, and rich people, poor people, people coming from countryside.
And I saw a conservative religious man with a beard talking casually about politics with, you know, a very modern-looking girl, and feeling that they were both part of the same cause.
In Tahrir Square at night, I saw young mothers with their suckling babies under the tents, living under the rain and the cold, staying all the night and day there.
1 a.m. of the 26th of January, and the police became very, very tough on us. And we ran, and there was the gas bombs, and I did not think that it's going to be a real revolution. So there were young people around me, and I told them that, fine, then we did a very good job. Today there were more than 1 million in the square. So you go home, and tomorrow morning we're going to make another manifestation. And I was surprised. They were really refusing. No, we never go home. And I was very touched. I felt for the first moment there is something I don't understand. This is a very different spirit.
On the bridge, the famous bridge, which is the Qasr al-Nil one, you felt, okay, this is the road to Tahrir, this is the road to liberation. And it was the day we actually managed to settle in Tahrir and create this Tahrir utopia, or, you know, the republic, as we call it.
It's very nice. This moment, we said it's a revolution.
It's a revolution, yeah.
And this time, we make it.
And it's a Facebook revolution, so that's even funnier, I guess. Everybody was making fun of you, you know, who plans for a revolution on Facebook and who plans for a revolution on a specific day. There is no date for a revolution. And we said it was the 25th of January. We had a date, so it was the police anniversary, and we gave them a nice one.
The most powerful chant that we heard from the very first day of the protest was El Shaab Yurid Isqat al-Nizam, which means the people want the downfall of the regime. That resonated so strongly because it was a chant that we'd first heard in Tunisia, and it was about a change of the entire structure. It wasn't just about Mubarak, it wasn't just about his ministers, it was about the whole regime.
The
second big protest was January 28th, and the night before, the government shut down the internet and also shut down mobile phone communication.
On the 27th, after they said to us they will let the cell phones down, I thought that we will die tomorrow. So I went to my home and see my baby and saying to him, bye. We have the right to leave.
The more violent they got, the more angry we as protesters became. So when they actually cut it, I knew beforehand because we kept hearing rumors every now and then that they're going to do that. So we knew that the phones would be cut off. And when it actually happened, I'm like, okay, you're giving me even more reason to be out there.
Yeah. You remember there was this banner from Anonymous back then supporting us, and it was, if your government shut down the internet, shut down your government. And it was really how, how we were.
The first thing I thought was just like, how scary are we? Or like, how weak are you?
That's it.
But ironically, you switch off the internet and mobile phones, people go to the streets, it seemed. Because how else can you look for people? How else can you find them except go and physically be with them in the same place? And so it completely backfired.
On that day, we needed so much communication, not to go down to protest, but to save lives. And guess what? There were millions of people in the street all over Egypt. And the police retreated that day, so it was victory for that day.
I mean, it was more than 100,000 on the 25th, even much more. And then by the 28th, we were sure that after the prayers, whether it's from the churches or the mosques, we were going to get big gatherings. And I think that was the time I felt, okay, that's going to be a battlefield. And it was actually a battlefield.
The riot police was not that prepared on the 25th to face this big a number. So it was easy to break all the barriers. But on the 28th, it was a true war zone.
They were shooting what we thought initially were rubber bullets. And we were seeing people just fall on the ground. And then suddenly we realized that there were snipers, that there were people on the rooftops of buildings around Tahrir Square that were just shooting people point blank. You would see, you know, a green laser light, and then a second later, that person would get hit in the face or in the chest. And that's how many people were killed. And that was not targeting particular leaders because there weren't any. It was just a scare tactic. It was meant to send a message that even if you're standing by watching what was happening, we could get you. No one is safe on Tahrir Square.
I saw one of the youth die in front of me because of the gunshots from the police. Being a doctor, I tried to save him, but it was too late. I felt kind of responsible of what happened to him. But meanwhile, I think that this was the right thing to do. So that was a very difficult moment for me.
When we were on the bridge clashing with security agencies, that was, of course, the scariest moment. We saw so much blood and so much violence, but we also saw how those security officials did not really care. They knew that what they were doing was not in the interest of the country. It was the people versus the regime. And the regime was, you know, guns and clubs and tear gas. And the people were simply unarmed except for their extraordinary courage and caring for one another.
When I got shot, I was in actually in the middle of Tahrir Square. All of a sudden, I found my eye just really hurts. I knew there's something seriously wrong. I could have lost my eye in an accident or in something, you know, minor, but I felt, I lost my eye for a real cause, for the freedom of the people. And I've seen the other injuries. I mean, my injury is nothing compared to others. So I swear to God, I haven't felt sorry once. What we're doing is much bigger than my eye or my body or myself. You're not living for your own. You're not living for your own desires, your own needs. you're living to have something positive to live in this world. So when you die, you know, you've done something. You know, I'm not just a person who just ate and drank and had kids and money and then died. You know, you have something of value that you're adding to humanity. بطل يا مصري يا مصري يا مصري بطل يا مصري يا مصري بطل بطل يا مصري يا مصري يا مصري بطل يا مصري يا مصري يا مصري.
The voices from Tahrir were recorded by Human Rights Watch. They're part of a multimedia collaboration between The New Yorker magazine, the photographer Platon, and Human Rights Watch. You can see the photographs and videos at hrw.org. Voices from Tahrir was produced by Barrett Golding of Hearing Voices with Human Rights Watch. Mix engineer was Robin Wise. You can hear more of the program on the next Rights Watch. You can also tune in to your local public radio station, if you're in the U.S., to hear the hour-long show. Thanks for listening to Rights Watch. I'm Jesse Graham.
دند اللي بنيها والله وصحينا وكرمتنا رجعت لينا والله وعبرنا والعالم احترمنا بطل يا مصري راجل يا مصري بطل يا مصري.
ألف شكر. شكرا.